If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Great to be back with you today. 2 weeks ago, we started a series on Christian stewardship. And I want to review the principles from the first message, if we could have that on the screen, from 2 weeks ago. The ownership question we shared with you, from a couple weeks ago. Let's say these principles together, just so we have them down in our spirit. Ready? Number one, everything we have comes from God. That's true, isn't it? Number two, everything we have belongs to God. It's in our possession. We are stewards, but it belongs to Him. Number three, everything we have requires accountability to God. We must remember those principles, amen, for to be good stewards of all that God has placed within our Bibles today, we'll be reading from Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, the kingdom of God, that is, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Excuse me. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant aside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This morning there are 3 things that you can do with your life. You can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. You can waste it by letting time go by, accomplishing nothing, being used for nothing. You can spend it. You can spend it and get as much as you can out of it. Or you can invest it in things that matter and things that last for eternity. There's a lot of talk about investment. In case you haven't heard, the stock market has been setting all kinds of records. People in the business community and the People's retirement funds have been growing lately. People have been really happy with that. They're focused on their investments. And how you invest your money is important, but how you invest your life is even more important. We said last week, everything we have comes from God, belongs to God, and requires accountability to God. The title of my message today is The Best Investment. I'm not a financial advisor, though I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. No, I'm kidding. But I can tell you the best investment for your life is by following God's investment principles. And this morning I want to answer the question, what are God's investment principles? What does the Word of God say here in this passage of the parable of the talents? What does God say are the best investment principles? The first principle we need to understand is this. God trusts you with His resources. God trusts you with His resources. It says three times here that He entrusted them. Verse 14, He entrusted His property to them. Verse 20, You entrusted me with five talents. Verse 22 means You entrusted me with two talents. The NIV says to one He gave five talents of money, to another two talents, to another one talent, according to his ability. The word talent that we use today actually comes from this story. Back in antiquity, talent simply meant an amount of money, equivalent to about $1,000 or so. So let's look at it this way. The master gave about 5,000 to one man, 2,000 to another, and 1,000 to the third. And he said to them, go and invest it. Go and use it in such a way as to get a return. As I said, our modern day concept of the talent comes from this parable. The truth of the matter is, God has invested something in each of us. God has entrusted each of us with His divine resources. Everyone has talents, abilities, resources, gifts, skills. All the things God has given you, He has entrusted to you. Notice that the amount differs, but everyone gets something. Can I tell you something? There's no such thing as a no-talent person. I don't know if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's the truth. You may be here today and you may look at the talents of other people. Say, I don't have that talent. I don't have this talent. I can't do what so-and-so does. I can't do what he does or what she does. No, but you have a talent. You have an ability. You have a divine resource that God has placed within your life. You see, we tend to look at our abilities and our talents, our gifts. We tend to look at those things as optional on whether or not we use them. But as we saw in the first message of the series a couple weeks ago, we're accountable to God for what He places in our hands. Everyone has to you. You've heard the analogy of a snowflake. Every snowflake is different. Every human being has different fingerprints, different DNA. They say we have a voice print. You are unique this morning. God has created no one else exactly like you. They say that there's a double for everyone. Have you heard that? A doppelganger, some people call them. Have you ever seen your double? Have you ever seen somebody who looks just like you? Well, whether or not you have, they may look like you, but they're not you. You're unique. You're special. You're an artistic creation of Almighty God. And as someone, I don't take my theology from a bumper sticker, but as one bumper sticker said one time, God don't make no junk. It's not good English, but it's good theology. You're unique. You're specially created by God, and God has entrusted you with His resources. The question for all of us this morning is, what are you doing with what God has placed in your hand? So, Pastor Tim, I'm not sure what He's entrusted me with. I'm not sure what He's placed, what resources He's placed within me. Well, you know what? We'll help you find that out if you'll let us. We have a ministry we call Growth Track. We're going to do some exciting things with that, by the way. We're going to make that available online here in the next within the next several weeks. And it's our gateway to membership, but more important than that, it's a big part of that is helping you discover what God has placed within you, what abilities, what spiritual gifts, what talents there are. And if you haven't gone through the course as we've offered it before, I encourage you to go through that once we place it online. Excuse me. Because God has entrusted His resources to you. Everyone has something. What are we doing with what God placed within our hands? The second investment principle we need to understand this morning is that God expects results. When you invest in something, when you invest in a fund, whether it's your retirement fund or a growth fund, you expect results, don't you? You expect to get something back for your investment. God expects results. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. You see, they had to know when He gave them the talents, they had to know that there was going to come a time of accountability, that there was going to come a time when the master would come back to see what they had done with the resources He had entrusted to them. He had made an investment and He wanted a return. God has made an investment in you. I like to say that God gave the very best that heaven has to offer. And God has placed resources in your life, and He wants a return. The Bible says that one day, God is going to do an accounting, an audit of your life and of mine. Are we ready for that? God is going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the freedoms and the opportunities that I placed in your life? The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. God expects results. We have needs here at this church, ministries for which we need people. You've seen the announcements. One of them is our children's ministry. And I want to show a short video to highlight what some of the great results can be when we give our resources. God has entrusted us back to Him. Let's show that video.
How important is children's ministry? Well, more than half of people who will ever believe in Christ will do so by the age of 12. And by the time a child is 9, their basic moral foundation has already been formed. By age 13, a person has formed their first basic beliefs about the nature of God, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of an afterlife, and the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. Through children's ministry, we have a chance to engage the hearts of these children when they are most open to the gospel. We are able to step into their lives through all the gifts like teaching, serving, administration, and evangelism. You could get a chance to share the gospel with a child for the first time in his or her life, or help them form their first thoughts of who God is. Please know we don't want this to be an obligation. We want this to be a pleasure. We want you to volunteer because you want to help your church raise its children as you raise your own. By helping us in children's ministry in any capacity, you help them see that Jesus is real.
You talk about return on investment. What a great return. What a great ministry. There are many of you who can be involved in children's ministry. There are many of you who have the ability to minister to children and to help us grow them up and to be the people of God that He's created them to be. And there are other ministries inside and outside of the church that God wants to see fruit. God wants to see results. What are you doing? I'll ask it again. What are you doing with what God has placed in your hands? You say, well, I can't do children's ministry. Well, you can do something else, because God has equipped all of us and God expects results. What's the third investment principle that we need to understand here? And I want you to pay a special attention to this. Number three, playing it safe is risky. Playing it safe is risky. Verses 24 and 25 say, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you haven't sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belonged to you. The first man who received the five talents, he doubled it, a 100% return. Likewise, the second man on his two talents. But the third man said, I don't want to lose it. I'm going to go hide it. I want to protect it. I want to play it safe. But playing it safe, he found out, was risky. I want you to picture this. So he said, I'm going to hide it in the ground. I'm going to protect it. I'm not going to risk it. And what happened? His master came back and called him a wicked, lazy servant. That's what he got for applying his faulty judgment to the situation. I'm going to play it safe. And the master said, you are wicked and you are lazy. The point is, we cannot please God by playing it safe. We must take risks in life. Why does God want us to take risks? Because the scripture says, whatever is not of faith is sin. In Romans 14, 23. Also in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. If everything we do is safe, we don't need faith. If everything you and I can accomplish is easy and without risk, we don't need God. But playing it safe is risky. Somebody said he wanted the church to put on his tombstone four words: at least he tried. This third servant was lazy and wicked. He sat on what he had. He protected it. And that's the way a lot of Christians live. Might have been hurt at one time. Maybe their effort to use their gift or their ability wasn't well received. And so they say, you know what? I'm not going to put myself in a vulnerable position anymore. I'm going to stay on the sidelines. Can I tell you something? If you stay on the sidelines, you never get in on the game action. You'll never get hurt. You'll never get injured. But you'll never know the thrill of being in the game. You'll never know the thrill of being involved. There are some guys on both teams, the Eagles and the Patriots, in tonight's game who are going to be on the sidelines. They're backups. They'll never get into the game. They'll get a Super Bowl. The winning team will get they'll all get a Super Bowl ring. And they'll enjoy the experience that their team wins. They'll never get in the game. And if you asked them to a man, they'd say, would you rather just... Look, you're on the winning team, especially. You're on the sidelines. You're safe. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to break a leg. You're going to be fine. Would you rather that, and especially if your team wins and you know, man, hey, I didn't even have to get my jersey dirty. I didn't even have to work up a sweat. I didn't have to risk getting injured, and I was at the Super Bowl. If you asked every one of them, would you rather have that experience or would you rather be in the game, what do you think they'd say? I'd rather be in the game. I'd rather risk breaking a leg. I'd rather risk an injury. I'd rather risk making a mistake on international television. I'd rather risk it all because I want to be in the game. But yet we have a lot of Christians say, no, I'll just sit on the sidelines. I'll just kind of be there. I'll just kind of celebrate with my spiritual teammates. I'll just kind of enjoy the atmosphere. Be a lot of atmosphere at the Super Bowl tonight, won't there? People enjoy. I love church, man. I love the atmosphere. I just love to be around the people. But don't put me in the game, coach. I want to be on the sidelines. Three main reasons why people, why Christians play it safe. Number one, self-doubt. I could never do that. I'm not qualified. It's the fear of failure. What if I fail? What if I flub up? What if I make a mistake? I can't risk that. Then there's self-pity. I failed in the past many times. I made an attempt to get involved for God. It didn't work out too well. Or the third reason people play it safe is self-consciousness. What will other people think? That's a big one, isn't it? What will other people think? What will other people's opinions of me? Proverbs 29:25 in the New King James Version says, "The fear of man brings a snare." It's a trap. If we have the mentality, let everybody else do it, let everybody else get involved, I want to sit on the sidelines, I'm worried about what people think, then we'll be just like this servant. We'll play it safe. The question for each of us is hearing the displeased voice of the master worth playing it safe? Worth sitting on the sidelines? Worth letting other people do the ministry? Worth letting other people get in the game? Worth letting other people take our spot when we can be doing something for the kingdom of God? We may think we're playing it safe, but in the big picture, playing it safe is risky. How about you this morning? Are you playing it safe? Are you holding back for whatever reason? Some of you remember Bonnie Ridenhour. Bonnie was precious, of course, went to be with the Lord about 5.5 years ago. Part of our praise team, what was such a blessing to our church. And when her husband Rex and Bonnie and their family came to our church, Bonnie had been involved in praise and music ministry before and used her guitar and shoes and pre. I never got all the details, but her ministry wasn't well received. She'd been hurt. And she'd made up her mind they would come to church, but she just wouldn't use that ability, that talent. And we got to talk, and she and I got to talking, and we had a home group that met at the time, and I said to her, "Why don't you just come and play a few songs, bring your guitar and play a few songs in our home fellowship group." So she did, and did beautifully. Those of you who remember Bonnie know her heart. She just loved to worship. She did a beautiful job, and then she would do that regularly in our home group, and then She filled in a time or two on our praise team, and when folks were missing, we said, "Bonnie, why don't you stay on the team, man? You do a great job." And she did. She would fill in, lead worship from time to time with her guitar. She was on the praise team every week, and even when she was battling for the last several years of her life, inflammatory breast cancer, a very rare and deadly type of breast cancer that had been discovered in the final stage. She battled, lost her hair. Some of you remember, unless she was physically unable to come to church, sometimes right after chemo or a few times, but unless she was physically unable, she would be on this platform with her kerchief, singing and praising the Lord, wearing her gold boots, Brother Dave. And I often think, and she was such a blessing to our church, and I often think, what would have happened if, because she was hurt at one time, she continued to stay on the sidelines? She would not have been able to use that beautiful gift and bless us so much as she did. Some of you remember her homegoing celebration here in the sanctuary. We mourned, but we praised because we celebrated her life because she had so much to give and she blessed our church. I was so glad that even though she'd been hurt, even though she had reason to stay on the sidelines, she didn't do it. She gave what she had to the kingdom of God. And everyone, you may be here. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've tried to use your gifts and it didn't work out so well. Maybe you need to go on discovery what your gifts are, what you have to offer the body of Christ. But I want you to know, God has placed his resources in you for a reason. Don't play it safe. Playing it safe is risky, which leads me to my fourth point this morning. Use it or lose it. Verse 28, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents in life. This principle is true of anything in life, time, money, effort, energy, talent, or abilities. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's true with money. If you don't invest it, if you're not making interest, if you're not earning something with inflation, you're falling behind. Isn't that right? You can stuff it in your mattress if you want, but you're losing money. It's true with our abilities, with our talents as well. It's a universal law. If I don't use my muscles, I lose their ability to use them well. If I don't use my mind, I lose it. I become mentally dull. If I don't use the opportunities that God has given me in business, sports, ministry, whatever it might be, I lose the opportunities. When opportunities go by, they're gone. How many know that's true? So what are you saying, Pastor Tim? I'm just saying this. Whatever God has given you, use it. Find a way, use it. Use your ability, use your gift, use your money, use your resources. What do you have that God can use? When there were probably 10 to 15,000 people who were hungry, you know the story, a small boy had a little boy's lunch. Five little loaves of bread, two little fish. Barely enough for a growing boy, let alone a crowd of thousands. But what did he do? Here, Jesus. Here, Jesus. I give it to you. And you know the story. Jesus took it and he fed the multitude. What might your little bit that you have to offer, your little seemingly nothing talent, nothing ability, maybe what you have to offer to God is your time. You can do be available for the kingdom of God, whatever it might be. What might the little bit you give and place in Jesus' hands, what might that be used to do in the hands of Almighty God? How many know God does great things with a very little bit? Come on. Use it or lose it. The fifth principle is this. Good investment brings great rewards. Good investment brings great rewards. And Jesus promised here that he would bring great reward. There are three rewards that are promised in Scripture. First, affirmation. Hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Church, when you think about it, when you boil it down to his essence, when this life is over, how many know this life's going to be over one day? The older I get, when I turn 60, I realize, hey, this life's moving along here, okay? It's not going to last forever. To hear the master say, well done. You know, you can take all the applause of men. You can take all the attaboys and all the pats on the back and all the, you know, the affirmations on social media and every other thing that you can think of. You can take all that. It pales in comparison to hearing the master say, well done. Well done. Church, we focus our eyes. Paul said in 2 Corinthians to focus our eyes on that which is eternal, that which is unseen. It's a paradox, but focus our eyes on that which is unseen, not that which is seen, because that which is seen is temporary, that which is unseen is eternal. We get so earthly focused, we get so fixated upon the things of this life that don't matter and won't last. We need to live our lives in light of eternity. Recognize this life will end, and at one point, we will desperately want to hear the Master say, "Well done." The day of reckoning is coming. Affirmation. Second thing is promotion. He says, "I am going to give you greater responsibility. You've been faithful with little things. I will trust you with more things." Did you know we're going to be busy in eternity? We're not just going to be floating on clouds and playing harps, okay? Now, if you're a harp player, you know, praise God, plan to play that harp, but probably a lot of us aren't. We're going to be busy. We're going to be creating. We're going to be doing things for God. And those who have been faithful, it's a biblical principle, those who have been faithful with a few things, they're promoted to do greater things. Affirmation, promotion, and third, celebration. He says, come and share your master's happiness. The happiest people I know are those who are using what they have for God. Can I tell you something? There's no celebration on this planet that compares to the celebration God has for us. The world's greatest Super Bowl party today might be something to see, but it's going to be nothing compared to the celebration that awaits us in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So this morning, as we bring this message to a conclusion, summarize God's investment principles. Number one, God trusts you with His resources. He's placed His resources in your hand, every one of us. Number two, God expects results. What are we doing with what God has placed within our hands? Number three, playing it safe is risky. Playing it safe in our minds is actually risky. Number four, use it or lose it. Number five, good investment brings great rewards. When God does an audit on your life, what's He going to say? Well done? Are you wicked, lazy servant? What have you done with what I've placed in your hands?